Good morning, brothers and sisters. This is the first Sunday we are without a pastor. Pastor Jeff has accepted an invitation to preach, to be the pastor of church of the First Baptist Church in Walnut, California. So we wish him well. When we first heard the news, I'm sure many of us were quite shocked. We were not prepared for this news. But after a little while, as we pray, as we see God's will, we begin to realize God is all wise and all powerful, and He has a purpose for all this to happen. It did not happen by chance. At first, when it comes, it's like the Hurricane Irene. But after we prayed, after we trust the Lord, we know that He has done this, and He will carry us through. So it is my prayer that we will continue to look to Him, believe in the Lord Jesus, that we will unite our hearts and our hands together and weather the storm. And it's further my prayer that the theme that we have started this year of getting to be mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will continue to do so. You pray just like this for the rest of the time? In preparation for this next few months, God has burdened my heart of a series of sermons around the book of John. And so my meditation, my preparation has been around this subject. Why the book of John? Next slide. Why the book of John? Some consider the book of John as the most amazing, the greatest book in the whole Bible. Well, the facts are these. It's written by John around AD 85, while he was living in Ephesus. John has in mind for us to prepare us to face this life. John revealed to us the Son of God who has brought us eternal life. John has this theme in the book of John to teach us about abundant life, which is the quality of life that's rich, full, and abundant. That's the word. That's what's on John's mind. So equipped with the message of John, we can face life with a very different attitude. So you have just read earlier on chapter 6, John 6. Those verses had to do with this life, the bread of life. Chapter 6 begins with the miracles of Christ. Two miracles. First one was Jesus feeding the 5,000. Second miracle, Jesus walking on water. These people who witnessed these events, they followed Jesus, they came with Jesus and cornered him and asked him a series of questions as if they want to examine Jesus in detail. These are the verses that we have earlier read, John 6, 25 to 35. Now, I'd like to go over these verses with you and summarize for you a little bit. In verse 25, They said, Lord, when did you get here? Just think about that. Isn't that a silly question? What's really on their mind? They were asking, Lord, how about have some more of that delicious bread? That's really what's on their mind. So Jesus very truthfully answered them, point out what's their motive. The motivation that they have was quite wrong. They said, you should look, he said, you should work for the bread that does not spoil. You should, your life should be dedicated towards that things that were everlasting for eternity. So the people ask another question. What must we do to do the work of God? What must we do? Another wrong question, you see. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn this bread of life. Nothing at all. God is such an amazing, generous giver. He just wants to give it to us. Another wrong question. Then the third question. Next slide. They had another comment. This time, they revealed the true color of these people. They said, wow, our ancestors had performed miracles and give us the bread from heaven. Well, examine this question again. In their heart was unbelief, wasn't it? In their heart, they don't trust Jesus to give them this bread of life. So they said, we have ancestors, we have tradition, we have things that we know going back for thousands of years. But Jesus said truly to them, the bread of life does not come from human being. Even as great as Moses, he cannot give you the bread of life. Where does bread of life truly come from? It's from my Father in heaven. You see, Jesus did not get mad at them. Jesus just answered them with such truthful gentleness and love. So finally they said, in verse 34, he said, always give us this bread. Always. Not just once in a while. Give us this till the rest of our life. Well, you wonder about this question too. Have they truly understood? And the answer is in verse 35. The Lord Jesus, I am. I am the bread of life. He is here with you. He is right in front of you. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. This is what Jesus said to them. And did they understand? Now you tell me, did they understand? What is John trying to communicate to us in this book, in the sixth chapter of the book of John? What is the main message that John is trying to tell in the verses that we have read earlier? A lot. He wants to say a lot. In fact, this is the most important message for mankind to hear. This is the thing that really we really need, not the material things in life. We really need to hear these words. He talked about eternal life, eternity. Eternity is a concept that we cannot really grasp. Eternity goes from the time it began. Infinity, that's as far as it can go. Through the present day and to infinity in the future. This is the concept of eternal life. Let's try to understand it a little bit by breaking them into the three parts. Eternity past. What is it? You and I all have a past. What is our past look like? When I was a young man, like many of you here, I began to wonder about the meaning of life. I tried to think about it a lot. I'd examine, next slide please. I tried to examine what's happening around the world. In more than 90% of the world that we live today, people exist by the bare essentials. They go out to work to eke out a living. Sometimes they make enough for the day's meal. Young men, young women, most of them are not able to go to school like you do. Some of them are lucky enough to go to school and maybe try to get an A, try to get a B, just like you do here. But most of them do not have the opportunity for school. And when they come home, it's a shabby kind of a home. They just will be able to rest their weary feet and sleep and go through another day. I think some of you have the opportunity for missions in the field. Your eyes are open, you can see it. But most of us that have lived here in the northern suburb of Atlanta, we don't know what that means, really. What we see, next slide, we are going for the American dream. We live, enjoy sports, and even play sports, tennis, right? And we go to the best restaurants. Most of us are experts in restaurants. And to satisfy our taste. And some high-tech people can find the best, latest technology to satisfy their curiosity. And we try to buy the name brand of clothes to show off. And which one of us does not have a comfortable home? I ask you. All of us have beautiful homes with luxury. Many of us travel abroad to see exotic things. My wife and I hope to do this month. But is this abundant life? Is this what it means to have abundant life? You will agree with me. But abundant life is much more than this. All of these will last for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year. But they soon lose their thrill. They do not satisfy. They disappoint us at the very end. Those who have these will want more. They don't think they have enough. This is not abundant life that Jesus Christ is offering to us. When I realized that, when I was a young man, I came across this Bible verse. Next one. In John 6. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. This verse came across to me. As if my eyes were suddenly opened, I see what this means to me. These are important verses for me. But not only for me, but for all mankind. At first, we are blind to the things of God. But when Jesus came and he shared with us himself, his words, my eyes were open. And I received and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I become the child of God. This was what happened in the past for me when I was about 20 years old. Is there anything for me to do? Ephesians says, by grace have I been saved through faith. Not by myself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Because otherwise, we will boast about our good deeds. It's purely God's benevolent gift to me. But this is what happened in the past. Now let's jump into the now, today. Jump into the life, abundant life, eternal present. This is a verse that applies. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. So they were really concerned about the life of the day. They wanted the bread to satisfy every day. Jesus should be very happy, right? Jesus should be glad that they really open up and ask for this bread. But Jesus knew what was really in their heart. Jesus knew the heart of men. He knew that they were fickle. He knew that they were trivial. He knew that they would change their mind just like that. And in fact, they did. When they found out that Jesus was not offering them this physical, material bread, they got up and left. So in this case, they have the eyes, they have not seen the real bread. They were deceived. It is very hard for people to accept the fact just by believing in Jesus Christ, you will receive salvation. It is too simplistic. Some people said, I have to work so hard. I have to earn my brownie points. And this is true of the Muslims, right? And also true of the Buddhists. You have to do something. And they were not quite sure at the end of the journey whether they have done enough. Now, there's another group of people. These people are highly intellectual, well-educated. These are the wise people of the world. They think that gospel is too simple. It's not sophisticated enough for them to accept. So they reject it. They wanted a more elaborate gospel. So these people miss out on the bread that truly satisfies. God has designed the gospel to be simple so that every one of us can understand and receive it. Even the humblest of them all. So you and I are in this group. We can receive it because the gospel that God has provided is simple enough for us. Well, what is so good about this gospel? What is so very wonderful about this gospel? The Bible calls it mystery. The mystery of the abundant life. Why the word mystery? There's a key verse that says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the mystery. Christ in us. Imagine God is Christ in us. This is the key of the whole works. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He's not just stationed in the church for us to worship on Sunday. He's not somewhere else. He is with us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He lives in us. This is the secret of our living power. Normally, People do not see this. In all the religions of the world, there is a place and there is a fixed object to worship. But the God that we worship cannot be grasped by hand, cannot be touched. We worship with truth in our heart. And He is living in us. This is the treasure. This is the power of the mystery. This is what gives us the courage to live each day. This is what allows us to face tomorrow. This is what gives us the joy of living each day. This is what gives us the hope of looking forward to the future. You say, well, is Christian life just comfortable, just like this? Is there any trouble that comes to our life? Well, you and I know that trouble does come. It's not trouble-free. In fact, the Bible goes so far as declaring the truth about our life. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. Take heart. Christ has overcome the world. You see, when Christ have overcome, He overcame not just the world, He overcame death. He rose from the grave. That demonstrates that power of God to overcome everything. Now what happened when that power of God lives in you and me? We have the power, the resurrection power, to live each day. How do we apply this power in our life? That's a subject of another sermon. But let's look at it this way. It has really been proven right in front of our eyes. Next verse. This is not just a fantasy, not just some story we believe in. This happens among us. Don't you see, as we pray, God answers our prayer. As we trust Him for our lives, He is there. What happened to Dr. Lowe? We prayed for him for all this month, and he had a good surgery, successful surgery. And everyone that I name here, there must be 10 more, 15 more that I have not recalled. God has answered our prayer again and again and again in this last few years. And if we just sit down and count them, we will be amazed at what God is doing in our midst. Did you know that Pastor Jeff has already been placed in a church in California? We pray for him. This is our personal things that happen to us that we can trust God. Can we trust God as a church? Can we trust God to lead our church onward without a pastor? Guess what? God is more concerned about this church than you and I ever will be. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. Have you ever seen any groom that does not love the bride? Never. Christ loved the church as His own bride. So you and I can trust God to lead us forward. He will provide for us. All for us to do is to wait, pray, unite our hearts together, join hands, be diligent in the word, study, serve, just like Pastor Jeff used to teach us. Our head, our heart, and our hands. This is what we need to do. and we can see God's mighty work. We will continue to grow in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good that we thank God for what He has done for us in the past. It's glorious to see how God is doing in our midst every day. But nothing compares to what we will experience in eternity, in the future. Nothing compares to that. This verse says, do not work for food that spoils, the same verse that we read earlier, but the food that endures for eternal life. See, this food that we have, the Lord Jesus, endures for eternal life. This is more important. You think that Bible teaches a lot about today, teaches a morality, teaches about holiness, teaches about purity that we live today. Did you know the Bible teaches more important things about the eternity future? You see, all our daily preparation, all our daily growth, all our holiness is for that day in the future. As we grow each day, hopefully we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Each day we grow to be more like Christ. Have greater faith, have greater love. All this fruit of the Holy Spirit be born into us. This is for the day that we shall meet Him. One day we will see Him. I've been here in this church as your elder for about 10 years. All these years, we have witnessed many brothers and sisters passing away to be with God. And all these years, what we have seen is they go in such great peace and comfort and hope. It's not like those hopeless wailing that we are aware of in China, in Taiwan, in Southeast Asia, when somebody passed away. There's peace. There's joy, even. So we know that in eternity, there's great hope. I begin to become aware. I used to wonder, why should I invest my life in the future and not as much as for now? Now I know. Did you not remember what Christ tells us? That He said in the last days of His life, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house, there are many mansions. Mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come back to receive you so that where I am, there you may be also. His last words for His disciples to hear. What is this home like? I've studied this passage. I've studied the book of Revelation and dig out some of these precious verses. What is this home like in heaven? It'll be free from wicked people. It'll be free from sorrow, pain, and tears. Don't you like that? It'll be free from hunger and thirst, because we'll never hunger again. It'll be free from God's curse. He will not curse. This is His new creation. We'll be free from death. The thing that we fear in this world, we'll be free of. These we do not see. But what do we see instead? Next verse. It'll be a place of eternal light. See the verses references? If you need them later, I'll give it to you. It'll be a home of the righteous. There will be no unrighteous there. Home of the righteous, including your beloved. It'll be a place of harmony, unity, and peace. It's such a wonderful place. It'll be a place of exquisite beauty, something you have never seen in your life, exquisite beauty. It'll be a place of eternal praise and prayer to God. We are having the exercise now so that we can praise Him with songs and prayer in the future. And it will be a place where the tree of life will be. It's such a wonderful place. And these are the assurances for us. This is just a little glimpse of what it is going to be like. It's just to give us the teaser so that we will know. Aren't you glad that after you finish this life here on earth, you're not just turning into dust. You're not going to be reincarnated into a rat. But you will receive a glorified body. You have such great joy in the presence of God. In fact, it's not idle. God will have an assignment for you to rule the universe. It'll be great joy in God's presence. It'll be glory in His presence. This is a message the Apostle John wants us to know in the 6th chapter of John. This is what he wants us to really sink into our hearts. Eternal life, the bread of life, the abundant life, that we can give thanks to God for our salvation, that we can live every day in purity and glory and great joy, that we can live and hope in the eternity that's to come. We can look forward to that. If you have these perspective, your life will be completely transformed. You won't live the same way you will today, because this is such a better life to live in Him. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before You with humbleness and with great gladness, because You have given us eternal life. You so love us that You came here to redeem us from sin, from the bondage of sin, from the curse of sin. And You have delivered us into freedom, into new life. And You make our hearts to sit in the heavenly places that we can look forward in the future. Thank You, God, for such a marvelous gift of life, of eternal life. Thank You so much for Your love for us. We do not deserve one bit of it, but it is Your bountiful love for us. Thank You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.